Well, happy Palm Sunday, and we're so glad that you're here. We're going to read a couple of scriptures, and then we'll get into it this morning. We'll start in Philippians chapter 2 in verses 1 through 11. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. It says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. We could spend all day there. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest. There's another 6 weeks. But also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's all for God's glory. And if there's ever been a scripture written that embodies everything that Jesus was about to accomplish on Palm Sunday, it's here. Because freedom comes when we stop looking at ourselves. Amen? We look at ourselves, we have a lot of problems. If we look at Jesus, a lot of our problems disappear. And then if you want to turn over to Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, it says, as they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? You say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it back here. They went away and found the colt, a colt, tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders were saying to them, what are you doing untying the colt? They spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. They brought the colt to Jesus and put their coats on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches, which they had cut down or cut from the fields. Those who went in front and those who followed were shouting. What were they shouting? Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. You know, the people that came into the city with him were probably about 120 that were walking with them, right? They were in the upper room with them. And then we have those that were coming, as the scripture says, to see Lazarus because he was raised from the dead. And then you had a whole bunch of others that were coming just to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem. So it was a pretty exciting time to be in Jerusalem. Amen? And I believe it's a pretty exciting time to be at Rock Solid Church. I believe it's a pretty exciting time to be in Hudson, New York. I believe it's an exciting time to be in New York. Because it's time for your light to shine. If there's ever been a dark time in New York, it's right now. When they don't have a clue what they're doing. The leaders are clueless because they've taken their eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. We better pray before I get in trouble. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is a light unto our path. It's a lamp. Father, it leads us, it guides us. Your word straightens us out. Your word washes and cleanses. Your word removes the guilty stain. Your word shows us all that you wish to do through anyone who would believe. Father, we thank you this morning that you're no respecter of persons according to your word. We thank you this morning that your promises are yea and amen to them that believe. We thank you this morning that the blood was more than enough. We thank you this morning for the gift of your Holy Ghost that you have given us. And therefore, we have become the most powerful entities on the planet because of the gift you have given. Father, we thank you that every demon in hell is subject to the authority of the word in the believers. Lord, we agree this morning that you will bless the works of our hands. We thank you, Father, that you said, when we walk, we're going to walk in righteousness. And Father, today, I pray that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear, as your word says. Lord, that when we walk out of this building, we would be able to see what your Holy Spirit is doing. And we would go and walk alongside and accomplish all that you ask us to do. Lord, let us not walk with blinders that we just close our eyes off to everything around us. But let us be those men and women that are truly free. Free from the fear of man. Free from the fear of tomorrow. Free from all of the worries of this world. Anxious for nothing. Lord, we truly walk as those men and women that have given their lives completely to Christ, knowing that we can trust you. What a Father we have. There is none like you, O God. Nothing compares to you. When you reached out and took us by the hand, you said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never let you go. Father, and even at times when we've tried to let go, you said, oh no, that's not how it works. I'll never let you go. So Father, we thank you for holding on to us, for keeping us, that even in the midst of every storm in our lives, you're greater and you're the one that makes a way. So today, Father, as your Son showed us in the triumphal entry, that as he walked in obedience, everyone who names his name from that point forward received their salvation as he was raised from the dead. Thank you, Father, for the power of that blood that changed our lives forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, a third of everything that Mark wrote has to do with 1 week of Jesus' life. Holy Week, which is what we're coming up to, right? Stepping away from everything that's going on in the world. Stepping back and giving God everything that he deserves this week. It is a week that changed the world. 1 week, God spoke about it for eons, and then 1 week came, and when Jesus walked into Jerusalem, it was the beginning of a week that would change the world forever. When the miraculous became an opportunity for every living soul. Isn't that amazing? It was when the Spirit was upon people in the Old Testament. Here's a time. Jesus is walking in or riding in on a donkey. And Luke says, Matthew, Mark, and John, they all say that he sat on the donkey. Luke says that they set him on the donkey. Setting the king, serving the king. When Jesus called and said, go grab that donkey, it had to be one that no one ever sat on, because that's the king's donkey and he's the only one that sits on it. And the king, whatever he asked for, he gets. Amen? So no matter what Jesus said was about to happen, because it's the first time now where Jesus said, hey, you can tell him I'm the king. Isn't that good news? The whole time before that, he said, shh, 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 shh. Don't tell nobody I healed him. Don't tell nobody who I am. Hey, just keep this to ourselves. Don't go spreading it all around. My time has not yet come. And that day, he said, let it rip. He said, let them all know. The king is coming. The king is here. The one that's going to change the world. BC is about to become AD. Everything changes this week. And I want to encourage you. I don't know what thoughts have been going on in your head, but join us in everything changing this week. Join in with the Lord. Everything that's going on in your life, whatever you're struggling with, this week it changes. Because Jesus came in and he said, look it, I'm going to ride in. How did he ride in obedience to the word, in obedience to his Father? And this is all he's asking us to do. He said, if we'll walk in obedience to his word, everything in your life will change. I don't know about you, but I need change in my life. We've been preaching Palm Sunday services for 25 years here. 25 years preaching on this subject. 25 years, my life has been changed. Every single time. But it's a decision each one of us have to make. Amen? How many know that he's greater than fear? Right? Because he didn't. That's a spirit, and he didn't give you that spirit. Amen? Right? Maybe you allowed it in. Maybe for some, you're still allowing it in. Maybe for some, you confess the fear more than you confess the freedom. That's a decision you have to make. How many know he's greater than addiction? Right? He's greater than every addiction. Oh, no, brother, you don't understand. Mine's really bad. They're all bad. Which one is good? None of them. He's greater than them all. I'm living proof. Sharon's living proof. I'm living proof. Garrett's living proof. Anybody else ever have been addicted to something and got delivered from it? Wonderful. If we could all get set free from the addiction of arrogance and pride. Seems like they have a deep root. We got to get down that tap root so that it's no longer we that live but Christ. Amen? So this is that week that everything starts to change. Listen, we're joined by millions of people around the world all celebrating this day. You are not alone. You're not by yourself. We're not some little church in Hudson, New York. We are joined by millions and millions and millions of people around the world all celebrating and proclaiming the King has come. And I want you to know he's come into your house. He's coming into your life. He's going into your family. He's going to touch everything that you have, everything you possess, and every thought. He's going to take it captive. He's going to ask you, take it captive and then bring it down and cause it to be surrendered to my word. Because when you surrender it to his word, everything changes. And this is a holy week. Tell your neighbor, say, you need some changes. Well, that ought to start a storm in some houses. This is the triumphal entry. Triumph means a great victory. A great victory is about to take place. One that was prophesied of long ago, before the foundation of the world. That's a long time ago, amen? But it was predicted or prophesied then by the King himself. Everything we do from this day forward is from a place of triumph. So many are trying to get to a place of triumph. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you are triumphant. Tell your neighbor, say, he's talking about me. See, that's the reality. Are you triumphant? Is this your triumph, or is this something that you hope someday you can arrive at? I want you to know, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're there. You triumph at that moment. It is not somewhere down the road when you memorize 36 scriptures. It is not when you win 157,000 people to Jesus Christ. Although I'm expecting that from each and every one here. It's a whole wide world out there. There's a big world out there with all kinds of people that need Jesus Christ. And we walk past them every day. Not no more. Because of the victory that he has given us. Amen. In verse 2 of Philippians there, it says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Jesus had one thought in his mind. I'm riding in all the way to victory. But that victory is going to cost me everything. There's the problem. Are we willing to allow it to cost us everything? Your name no longer being the focus. My name no longer being heard. Only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Him and him alone. Because he said, I've come to do what I've seen the Father do, and I've come to say what I've heard in heaven. That's all Jesus came to do. One thing, whatever the Father asks. And if we're going to walk in victory, the words that come out of our mouths are going to have to agree with what he said rather than how I feel. What he said rather than what you think. So many times we get confused by how we feel or what we think, and it trumps it. It goes on in verse 2, it says, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. One purpose. This body, the body of Jesus Christ here at Rock Solid Church, we've got one purpose. The purpose of church is training and equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, right? We agree on that. Ethan made reference to the fivefold ministry, right? The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right? We've got one purpose, which everything that we do is built on the apostles and the doctrine of the apostles and the prophets. That's what the scripture states. That's where we stand. We don't move from that. We don't change that. Whatever the word of God says, that's where we're standing. And when we surrender to that, he adds to. Amen? That's why there's a church in Athens. That's why there's a church in Philmont. Because God added to men's hearts, and men and women stepped out in obedience to God, and now it's being preached in different places. That's his desire for each one of us. It might not be a church plant, right? That's a governmental offices. But we've also have all kinds of other gifts. You know, I don't want to see a show of hands, but how many believe they have the gift of hospitality where your house is an open door and yet we're too busy and nobody comes through? How many gifts have been laying dormant? Jesus came and he said, look it, I'm laying it all on the line. I'm laying it all down. Whatever the cost, I'm doing what the Father has called me to do. And this is what Jesus always does. And he said, look, if you want true freedom, you're going to have to follow me. Come, follow me. Pick up your camper. Pick up your airplane. Pick up your boat and follow me. He said, pick up your cross. Pick up the plan that I have for you. And that's the beautiful thing about it. Can I tell you, your dreams and your plans pale in comparison to the ones God has for you. Because when you lay everything else down, he does something so beautiful with your life. Oh my goodness, does he do beautiful things. Pastor Bob sits back there. He's planted 5 different churches. You know, now he's still out there preaching Christ at 105 or what is it now, Pastor Bob? Somewhere close to there, right? He's still out loving people, proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. His beautiful bride still adores him. I mean, he's a good-looking man. Right? He's got an amazing body. He's kept by stewards. And that's what he lives by. You know, I mean, it's just a miracle. But one man stepping out and doing what God called him to do, 5 churches still preaching the word of God. That's good news. That's just one man. You know, and that's, of course, he was from the Bronx. So there's that. So just imagine what he could do with somebody from Hudson. You know how much work he had to do on somebody from the Bronx before he got that right. This is what God's looking for. Just someone to do the same thing as Jesus. To walk in completely surrendered and submitted, saying whatever it is. And he's saying, just like Jesus said, now tell them I'm the king. And that's when we come before the Lord. Lord, now I'm laying my life down. Now I make you Lord and Savior of every area. Jesus is following the words of the Father and making all things complete for salvation. Complete obedience. Talk about riding through the gauntlet. Knowing what's coming. If God showed you everything that's coming, I think you would turn back. I would. You know why? Because he's preparing us day by day. If he showed us the end, we'd be like, yeah, don't think so. Love you, Lord. I'm out. I can't handle that. I couldn't do that. Are you kidding me? What? We would have all kinds of reasons and excuses when we saw how grandiose God's plan is for each and every person in here. Because God's not interested where you came from. You think he knows where you came from? His mind. That's where you began. He's not interested in the mistakes that we've all made. He's interested in what he said when he was thinking about you, when he was molding and shaping each one of us in the womb. He was dreaming and he said, oh, this is how I'm going to use them. This is my plan for them. These are the lives that they'll change and transform. This, when they lay their lives down, I'm going to take them from here, from this little place called Hudson, and I'm going to move them over to here. Or sometimes he takes people, I'll take them from this little place called Earlton, and I'll put them over in Hudson, a place nobody ever, I didn't want to go. Didn't have no desire to come here. But then I just said, whatever the leadership thinks is best, that's what we'll do. God can do anything with that. I found that out. I didn't know it at the time. I thought, I'll fail. I'll destroy it. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I said, Lord, you know this is not me. I'm good at being the head usher. I'm good at doing mission trips. I'm good at, those are the things that I did a lot of. I'm good at plowing the driveways and fixing all the stuff in the building. I'm good at all of those things, Lord. Those are nice. And then have somebody else that's better qualified come and do it. He said, okay, shut up. It's probably the two most important words we'll ever hear. Because if he can get us to quiet down in the lies that we're spewing against the truth, then he can have his way in our lives. Amen? See, we're either going to lie or we're going to tell the truth. Right? You're going to lie. I'm either going to lie to my wife or tell it the truth. One of the two things is going to happen. We decided, well, we flipped a coin. No, we didn't flip a coin. But we decided we were going to tell the truth to one another. Sometimes it's painful, isn't it? Sometimes it hurts. It's called growing up. It's called learning how to handle correction and reproof and instruction for righteousness. This is what it is. This is what God does when he brings two people together. He starts melding them together, and it's a lot of work because he wants two to put 10,000, and he's trying to get us prepared for all that he has. So there's got to be a surrender rather than a dominating. How many know there's an issue there? I was just talking about my marriage, Bill, but okay, thank you. It is an issue, right, Bill? Yeah, that's my friend. But it's an issue in every marriage. So when we allow him to come in and we surrender to his lordship and we agree to what everything that he says, it's easy to tell the truth. It's easy to walk through that. And then eventually, you know what happens? When you start telling the truth long enough, you start to believe it. Well, yeah, how easy is it to believe the lie? Right? I have to tell the truth in my mind 300 times in order to conquer sometimes one lie. Right? I got to climb up and get in that mirror every morning and say, no, this is what he said, this is what he said, this is what he said. And then I look at, shut up! This is what he said! Because that lie tries to come back and it tries to get you off course. It tries to get you to, Jesus, the devil tried to distract him, tempted him, right? Said, you don't want to do this. You just come and worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus said, it's written. You'll have no God besides him. Written. Every time we have to go with, it's written and it's got to supersede. The people were crying out, Hosanna. Hosanna. That simply means save now. Once again, confirming his kingship, knowing that he was the savior of the world. They didn't even realize what they were saying. They're obviously prophesying what was already spoken in the Old Testament, in Zechariah, even in the Psalms, talking about the triumphant and save now. They were screaming it out, save now. They didn't even want to wait until Easter. They didn't want to wait till the end of the week. Jesus comes riding in and they're yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, save us now. Oh, that the world would start crying out. Because the church is walking in the power and the authority that God has given. And the anointing on your life, when you walk by, people would start saying, Hosanna, just save me now. Come on, let's not go into a whole ordeal. The anointing, the power of God is upon you. Just save me now, would you? Just lead me in that prayer. Lead me now. This is what they were crying out. In Psalms 118, 25 and 26, he says in the New King James Version, it says, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Save me now. Send prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Look at God ties it all in. One third of what Jesus talked about had to do with finances. And people get all weird about it, right? They get all controlling when it comes to that aspect of it. But he said, hey, save now, send prosperity. Blessed is anyone that comes in the name of the Lord. When we come walking in the name of the Lord, we speak what his word says. Everyone in that house gets blessed. Right? Does his word ever return void? Never. So whatever house you walk in, he said, bless them, didn't he? Yeah, he said, bless them. You see, when you know him, and he said, look, if they don't receive you, head on down the road and find another house. Some people are sitting there pounding on the door, please let me in, please let me in, please let me in, please let me in. God's only saying, hey, that's somebody else's job. Wipe your feet and go on about your business. Go find another door that's open. And I believe every time you walk into a door, I don't care where it is, when you proclaim the name or the word of God, the name of Jesus Christ, everyone in there is going to get blessed and changed by the power of his word out of the vessel that's surrendered to him. You've got to see yourself like that. This is why he died, why he rose. He rose so you could walk in triumph in every situation. No matter whose house you walk in, you bring the word of the Lord. Well, they don't really want to hear it. You don't know my family members. You don't know my neighbors. I know the power of God's word. Jesus wasn't distracted by men's praise or by their jeering. He did not get distracted by either. He didn't go and say, I need more, I need more, I need more. And he didn't say, please back off, please back off, please back off. All he said was, it is written. And he walked on into the victory. The scripture states that all Jerusalem was stirred. Here he is, he's going to sacrifice his life. And it says, all Jerusalem was stirred. Remember another time when all of Jerusalem was stirred? Back when Herod and the wise men came. When Jesus was about to be, when he was born. And they said that Herod was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. Now all Jerusalem is stirred. First they're troubled, now they're stirred. Sounds like people. One minute they're troubled, the next minute they're excited, the next minute they're troubled, the next minute, it all depends on what happened. We've got to get to a place where we just keep on walking steady and climbing closer to him, walking in the Spirit, so these things don't move me. The things in this world do not move us. Oh, they say, look, these are the things that are going on. America's going down, blah, 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 blah. If you read the news, you want to jump ship. Exactly what they try to get people to do. Not us. Hurricane coming. And you were built for it. Because he said when darkness covers the earth, and then what? Deep darkness covers the people. He said, but not you. Tell your neighbor, say, not you. Not you. That's right. But the glory of the Lord will be upon you. That's triumphant living right there. When darkness is covering the earth, deep darkness, the people where all of the thoughts of their minds are destructive. We're there. Where all of the desires of the heart are selfish. We're there. He said, hey, listen, when that deep darkness comes on people's lives, oh, I'm gonna have you walk in glory like you've never seen before. I'm gonna put my glory upon you. And when you walk in, light walks in and the darkness starts to cover its face and turn its face. Why do you think when you preach the word of God and when you speak the word of God, when you walk into houses, people go, why do they do that? Why do they complain about you when you leave? You was one of them at one time. I remember after I got saved, we went back down to Mississippi, and I know he told you this probably 100 times, but I think I'm going to say it again. This is 101. When I got saved, we went back down to Mississippi. Nick was about 6 months old or something like that, 4 months old, and all my buddies flew in from the military. We all met down there and had a party, and I had stopped drinking, doing all the stuff that I was doing before, and these guys, they hadn't gotten saved, and they were still doing what they do. We went to the house, and as the night went on, you could see the attitude start to change as that liquid started to flow. So we said, well, it's time for us to go. Said, love you guys. Hugged everybody. Told them how thankful I was that they all flew in and to come and hang out. We had all been on Guam together for a couple of years and hadn't seen each other. And I flew. we left. The next day, one of the guy's wives, she came to me. She said, and you said they were your friends? I said, yeah, why? She said, well, if you could have heard everything I heard last night, you used to be fun. You used to be out of control. They used to like to be around you. Now, you're not too fun to be around anymore because all you do is talk about what Jesus Christ has done. Yep. I went home and thought, son of a gun. I was young in Christ. I didn't know then. I was struggling. All my buddies, we did everything together. We went to jail together. We did everything together. And now just because I don't drink no more and I love the Lord, now all of a sudden, I'm out. I'm the odd man out. I want you to know, keep walking with him if that's where you're at. If you're walking with Jesus Christ and the ones that are close to you, your friends have backed off and they're like, can you just shut up about Jesus? I just can't. Why not? Because I'm in love. When I'm in love, I got to tell you about my lover. And he's the greatest lover there ever was because he washed away all of my sins and he made me whole. He made it so I didn't need the liquid courage anymore to be a man. I didn't have to try to prove anything anymore. I just fell in love with him. And the wonderful thing about God is that I've met every one of those men. I've flown to their states where they lived in, and I've led every one of them to Christ. Every single one of them. He's so good. And you know, one of them just texted me the other day. There's one, my buddy, he calls me and he says, hey, I need to talk to my pastor. He's down, not in Florida anymore. And he sent me a text just the other day. He said, I was talking to a buddy of mine at work. He said, and I was telling him what an amazing guy you are, what a pain you were in the military, but how I love you. And he said, and your story, it's amazing. And I thought, man, I haven't seen this guy in, I don't know, probably 5, 8, 9 years, something like that. Haven't seen him. But can I tell you, one moment with people, when the name of Jesus Christ starts to flow out of your mouths, everything starts to change. Jesus rode in triumphantly. You are triumphant. Everything you build from here on out is not from a negative balance. You have got a positive balance of God's grace, right? Because he said he'll bless you with grace upon what? Pain, grace upon storms, grace upon failures, grace upon a loser mentality. He said grace upon grace, upon grace. God's grace doesn't end. It doesn't stop. You're triumphant now. He rode in obeying the Father. He said, I need a donkey. We could probably do that with Nick. That's what I'm going to do next time we go down there. Nick caught a wild donkey. They said he could have it. He said, yeah. He's got 4 acres, 12 chickens and a donkey. And he wears his donkey hat. Donkey farming hat, sorry. I think I'm going to go down there next time I walk in there. The Lord has need of that. He'll probably say, good, take it. No, no, that's his donkey and he likes it. No, I'm a donkey farmer. That's what he tells me. I'm a donkey farmer, Dad. Okay. But I'm going to see what he says when I say, the Lord has need of that. Hopefully he's not watching today. Jimmy, everything about your life is triumphant from here forward. You just got baptized, right? That old man's dead. Is he? Is he? He's dead. Never to be resurrected again. Never to be spoken of again. Never to control again. Never to hurt again. Never. That old man's dead. Reckon him dead. Amen? You're free indeed in the name of Jesus Christ. That's who you are. You better scream it in the mirror. And when another voice comes, you tell them, shut up. There's a call on lives in here. And every time the devil says, you can't do that. You made too many mistakes. You're useless. You tell him, shut up. Shut up. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through. And that's all you say day after day after day until you start to believe it. Because I want you to know God believes it. He believes with him all things are what? Possible. That's what he believes. And he wants to know, would you agree with me? Zechariah 9:9. We're a very familiar passage. We're going to read 9 and 10 quickly. We got 30 seconds. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph. There it is. Shout in triumph. This isn't about whispering. You know, the world wants the church to whisper. Don't they? The world wants you. Oh, you can shout inside your four walls, you cute little people. Aren't you guys so sweet? You can shout in there. You get out in the street, shut your mouth. You whisper out here. How dare you say anything according to the scriptures? Jesus did. Who were the first people that he talked to when he came in? The religious ones. He said, hey, you're out. I'm in. We're done with this. Now we're going to come back and do what we were called to do, what the scripture says to do. We're all done trying to make a dollar bill off of what you're selling here. Get out. I'm in. And that's what we have to say sometimes to our own minds. Devil, get out. He's in. I'm all done playing the game. Everything changes today. He said, shout in triumph. You've been shout. We've all shouted enough in defeat. Maybe you call it a whisper, but you say it so many times, it's a shout. We look at a situation and say, you don't understand, it's too big. You're shouting defeat. Yeah, but it's too much pain, I can't forgive. Defeat. It'll never work. Defeat. I'll never have enough. Defeat. We got to start to shout in triumph. I am who he says I am. Amen. And I can do what he says I can do. I have what he has given me. Right. And he has given me all things that pertain to what?
Life
and godliness. Everything you need in your life to get stronger, he's already given you. Every wall that's in your life that you need to break down, he's already made a way. He said you can run through a troop and what? Jump over a wall. Oh, yeah. You don't even have to do the Flousberry flop. You don't have to go over like this. That'd be painful. You just, boom, like a hurdle. You're just going over it. Why? Because when he's in you, all things become possible. You become them super warriors. One that man has no idea where your power comes from until we tell him. My strength comes from the Lord, in whom I hope and I trust. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey. even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot of Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off, and he will speak peace to the nations. That's who we are. We speak peace. Peace to people's hearts, peace to the situation. Not about us, it's about him. And if he's the Prince of Peace, we've got one purpose. He will speak peace to the nations, and his dominion will be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Peace in your life comes through surrendering to him. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 17, it says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in what? Who always leads us in what? He's only leading you in one direction. He's leading you in a direction he promised. Isn't that a good God? He only leads you. Listen, if you're heading down a dark hole, know that the Lord isn't leading. If you're full of arrogance and pride, know that the Lord isn't leading. He's only leading you in triumph. He's only leading me in triumph. And that triumph comes in surrender and obedience. That's where he's going to lead us every single time. He will never lead you into anything else besides triumph in Jesus Christ. And manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. No matter where you go, you have an aroma about you when you proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. You are a sweet aroma when his name is mentioned. You're beautiful beyond what you think. You're powerful, more powerful than the person sitting next to you. Don't say, yeah, that's me. Oh, yeah. See, it all depends on the decision that you make. And then Colossians 2:15 says, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Our triumph is through him. If you're triumphant this morning, stand up. The only place he leads you is triumph. Jesus walked in triumphantly and he hadn't even gone to the cross yet. But he already knew the outcome. Do you know your outcome when you die? Yeah. That's good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So you know that he's already gone to prepare a place for you, right? He said if it wasn't so, he wouldn't say it. Does Jesus lie?
No.
No. Does he ever change his mind on you?
No.
No, he never changes. Does his love ever fail you? Does he ever give up on you?
No.
Never. He's triumphant. And he said, if you'll trust me, you're triumphant. And I'll make a way in your life where there is no way. So this morning, as we celebrate what God has already done through Jesus Christ, he rode that donkey in, and then he ascended to the Father. Isn't that amazing? Come in on a beast of burden. And then just ascend, and they all watch you leave. That's the power and the authority that you have. Nothing through the hand of man. Everything through the power of God. And he's given you the Holy Ghost to remind you of all of his promises. You're triumphant right now. Tell your neighbor, say, I am triumphant. Tell your neighbor, say, you are too. See, some people, that's the first time they ever heard it. But you're triumphant in him and in him alone. Amen? So as we walk out of here today, I want to encourage you that wherever you go for lunch, with the family, buy another shirt, whatever you're going to do today. I'm an extra large in case you find a nice one, okay? But wherever you go today, your voice is triumphant, proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. And people's lives are going to be changed by the power of your love, the love of Christ in you. Amen? Father, I thank you for the body of Christ this morning. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters that as we walk together, Lord, we walk with such joy, with such expectation, knowing that he has already triumphed over our hearts. We've surrendered. And Lord, now we want to allow you to triumph over every thought in our head. We want your thoughts to be ours. You said, take every thought captive and then bring it into subjection. Lord, I pray that we would subject every thought to your word, and that nothing would come out of our mouths except that which brings you glory and honor, that which builds those around us. Father, that we would stir each other up in faith and good works. Lord, that we would find those that are downtrodden. You said that the anointing you have given us would bring healing and deliverance and open the blind eyes. Father, let us live those lives that you have promised us, because all things are now possible because of Jesus Christ. Father, let us not waste a moment or a day believing the lie any longer, looking at the darkness and wasting time. But Father, let us step out into your favor, into your presence, into your love, so that those around us would hear of an amazing Father who set the captives free. Thank you for allowing us prodigals back into your good graces. Lord, today, we bless your mighty name. We bow before your throne. We say there is none beside you. We worship you, O God. Thank you for healing the hearts in the house this morning. Father, those that are broken, you're the healer. You're the redeemer. You're the rebuilder. You're the repairer. When the breach was so great, you said, it's not too great for me, or it's nothing for me to heal. The Father, we speak health and wholeness over the triumphant saints of Jesus Christ right now, in your mighty name. Amen.